The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
All right, 8:51 this morning. Let's turn our attention to Cork GAA, and I'm delighted to say Michael Moynihan of the Irish Examiner is with us. He's literally written the book on economics in the GAA. Michael, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, lads. How are you?
Yeah, good. This is a really interesting story where Sports Direct have come in and a deal has been certainly broken in the papers, not formally officially announced yet by the Cork County Board, but we understand it's of the magnitude of around 400 grand a year, and it's a five-year deal. And John Fogarty had an interesting detail in his piece today in your paper, where the money's going to be paid up front every year, which kind of gives some security to Cork GAA at a time when their economics and their finances haven't been great. So how big a story is this in Cork GAA at the moment, Michael, and what does it feel like in terms of trying to rebalance the disparity between Cork and Dublin at the moment, in those terms, really? Where do Cork GAA people feel about this?
Well, you put your finger on there, Ger. I think, obviously, Dublin are the pace setters when it comes to funding and achievement and parlaying that funding into achievement. And I suppose it's interesting to see people's opinions in Cork break along predictable lines. There is a school of thought that says, no matter where the money comes from, if my team gets it, that's good, and that'll make us more competitive. And there's another school of thought which is a little more reticent, and there's a lot more trepidation about what Sports Direct brings with them. They obviously have a lot of associations that people might be uncomfortable with. And you mentioned John's piece there, which is very good, which makes a very good point about local retailers in Cork, who I'd say have a lot of trepidation about what a Sports Direct superstore means for Cork. Sports Direct opening a big store on Patrick Street, and that will have ramifications, obviously, for local sports outlets like Cumann Sports, which is intimately involved with Cork for decades. So there's a parallel track. There's an acknowledgement, obviously, that, as you say, the economics mean that every intercounty team needs substantial resources. But there's also a degree of, I wouldn't say unhappiness, but discomfort, maybe, with some of the aspects of Sports Direct's dealings in the past.
Where are Cork at the moment in terms of being financially independent and standing on their own two feet? Because it's been a fairly torrid 18 months or so, it seems, from the outside.
Well, how long do you have? It's a very twisted story, because there's still a lack of clarity about Party Kiev, the extent of the debt, what created the overrun, what the ramifications are. For the GAA as a whole, by the way, I've been in other counties and had a frosty reception when you unveiled the Cork accent, because a lot of other counties are blaming a lack of investment on the amount that has to go to Cork to cover the stadium debt. But in terms of the day-to-day running, and this has been a long-standing principle of the county board, that the parking keep debt doesn't have an impact on the preparation of teams, because Cork is a competitive dual county. I think they spent almost 1.2 million on team preparation last year across both codes. So there's a substantial amount that needs to be generated every year for teams without ever going near the stadium debt. And the stadium debt is unfortunately something that's going to be an issue for, I would say, a decade or two to come.
Right, that's a perpetual millstone around the neck. And parallel to this, you need to generate enough funds to try and get the games development officers to try and build up the programs that have been successful in urban areas in Dublin and roll those out across Cork, which has its own unique geographical challenges. It's a massive county, like physically, and trying to, it's probably much easier to share a games development officer between a club and a bunch of different schools in an urban area like Dublin than it is, say, in West Cork or East Cork. So there are very unique challenges that the Cork County Board face. How are they doing with that? Like, what's the kind of sense that because it's a fairly new regime there, the last 18 months as well, last year?
There is, and to be fair, I think people are willing to give a new regime, obviously, a chance to bed in and to give it a fair shake, etc. They got off to a fairly shaky start, though, with the, there was a little controversy last year about the size of the deficit they were running when the County Board announced $500,000 and one of their own committees corrected them and said it was $2.5 million. So this is leading to a lot of unhappiness then amongst clubs in Cork. And you're quite right, Cork's pride and joy is the fact that there's over 200 clubs, which is great when you want to say you have more clubs than anybody else, but which is not so great in a lot of other ways, including GDAs and sharing them. And There have been a couple of initiatives tried in that sense where two or three clubs have come together and try and do so. But Cork has a kind of, in some sense, the worst of both worlds. It's a large urban centre with a strong GA tradition, but there are a lot of clubs there fighting for resources. It also has tiny clubs in remote areas in circumstances you may be associated with the west of Ireland, say, or the western seaboard. So, you know, Cork's challenges are diverse. And I think, look, you put your finger on it in the sense that, you know, what works in County X won't work in County Y. And Cork is the special case, you know, no pun intended. But, you know, there are a lot of challenges for Cork. And unfortunately, the bottom line, it keeps circling back to, you know, what a lot of clubs say. Look, can it possibly be feasible to say that a huge debt of over 13 million euro has no impact on how, you know, clubs are supported or how the inter-county teams are resourced? And for a lot of people, that circle can't be squared.
Has there been, I guess, not complaints, but has there been any suggestion that the lack of finance or perhaps more finance would increase the chances of winning All-Irelands in both codes? Has there been a sense that the intercounty teams have been under-resourced in comparison to, say, how Dublin have been resourced at intercounty level over the last few years?
I suppose you could say that in every county, couldn't you? That every county is looking at Dublin, without picking on Dublin, and saying, well, you know, if we had X amount, if we had the resources that they have, we'd be more competitive. And I think that narrative is interesting in the sense that it's become an accepted principle that, you know, if we had more money, we'd be more competitive, which doesn't always follow. There are plenty of, you know, counties with a lot of money which aren't competitive. Well, not plenty, but a few. But certainly it depends on what you are trying to get out of the GAA in your county. If you want a thriving GAA structure within the county with plenty of games and a feasible calendar for adult players, that's one challenge. But if you want a competitive inter-county team, and when we say competitive, a team that's winning provincial or All-Ireland titles, can you really have that and have a competitive structure within the county and have that in football and hurling? And, you know, when you look at Dublin and the fact that they're a case apart, you have to wonder at some counties whether that's feasible for them to pursue.
I suppose that's the big question about Cork, is that it feels like there is enough multinational industry, there is enough population, there is enough clubs that you should be able to pursue it on both sides. And yet, if you look back over the last kind of three or four seasons, with various managers, there's been definitely stories of players not being happy with how the county board are responding to them. There was a story about the footballers having to set up their own gym, and then there was a dispute about that. That was a couple of years back. And then you had a line in your piece yesterday, Mike, about there being tensions between the hurlers and the county board, and the hurlers not actually showing up to the launch of the One Cork, which was trying to bring the whole fundraising and philosophy, I guess, together under one umbrella. What were those tensions about?
Well, those tensions related directly to resourcing and getting the equipment and material needed, as you say, to mount a meaningful challenge at senior inter-county level. Now, the question is whether those are structural problems that go to the heart of the relationship or just the kind of tension that leads to, I won't say a fit of pique, but a disagreement that's easily resolved and, you know, normal service resumes within a couple of months. But this comes back to my point that the line that, you know, the financial issues engulfing Park and Kyiv don't have any impact or bearing on what happens with the senior inter-county teams is a very hard one to sustain, because the evidence, as you say, is available that, you know, the team players can sometimes be a little less than gruntled with the level of support that they are getting from the county board. I suppose that's probably the nicest way of phrasing it.
Well, it's interesting because obviously Sports Direct, they want the ambassadors, the players, they need those players to be front and centre of the ad campaign, and obviously they're going to have certain rights as part of the deal. If the hurlers or the footballers don't feel like they're getting what they need or what other counties are getting, then are the players going to put the county in breach of contract? We've seen Sports Direct, if there's a breach of contract, they will pin you to the wall for every last cent.
Yes, I'm informed of powers that be in Cork are very, very much aware of Sports Direct's form in that regard. I wouldn't see that being a huge issue, because you have to remember, I suppose, you know, players are human too, and they like the spotlight, and I'm sure to be a consideration for their services when it comes to publicising products and goods, etc. There's a whole other I mean, there's a whole other argument that flips over that, and you would say, well, you know, Gaelic Games are very popular in Cork. It's a big urban centre. There's a captive audience. So you have to ask why, over the years, the Cork players haven't been used by the board or sponsors more in the past to leverage their fame to the board's advantage, to the GAA's advantage in Cork. But my understanding is that, as you say, Chile would be very keen on that kind of partnership. So I would anticipate more of those PR occasions coming on stream when they finally get their feet under the table. But, you know, you touched on it earlier, Ger, when you talked about, you know, the economics of the GAA. It's a very complicated situation because people have been quick enough to point out to me that, you know, an organisation that wraps itself in community values, and with good reason, and as we saw in the lockdown, you know, in fairness, you know, the GAA did a lot of fantastic work all over the community. You know, there can be a cognitive dissonance between that concept and engaging commercially with, you know, kind of elbows out, tough companies who, as you say, wouldn't be reticent when it comes to insisting on their rights. So there's a dissonance, I'd put it no more strongly than that, involved there, I think.
It's interesting then that you mentioned that perhaps there's been a feeling that inter-county teams have been slightly under-resourced a little bit, and that there might be a little bit of disagreement between the players and what they see as the way forward for Cork. At the same time, Michael, if they want to contend and they feel they have been under-resourced, then something like the Sports Direct deal is the exact sort of thing that they probably require to be able to contend at inter-county level in both codes.
Yeah, and again, to circle back to a point made earlier, something as simple as the fact that Sports Direct are paying upfront does make a difference, because I think if you drill into a few of the sponsorship deals around the country, what you'll find is they can be performance related, there can be deferred payments depending on where and when the county exits the championship. So in and of itself, that's a huge plus. If Sports Direct pays up on, you know, 15th of January or whatever date, you know, the inter-county season will start, that's a big help, because, you know, the traditional complaint you hear from county players all over Ireland is that, oh, I didn't get my wet gear until July, or I didn't get my second pair of boots until October when we were over the championship. That kind of, you know, miscommunication or misstep. So, you know, it also comes back to a point I made earlier, which is, you know, are you happy that your team, the team that you follow or the team that you support, is resourced, and are you not too particular about where those resources come from?
Man City fans, we've seen sports fans tend to care most about results. That's the thing. Mm. That's why they choose to spend their free time watching sport, really.
Yeah, I suppose. But if I flip that around, then you kind of say, well, do we really absolve ourselves or abdicate any kind of responsibility at all? Are we happy to do a deal with Eve? Yeah, I mean, if it means we can get an extra set of footballs, etc. It's an interesting test case, because it also does introduce a very harsh note of reality. And that is, you know, Cork County Board can say, look, we've done a very good bit of business. We're in the middle of a pandemic, a rolling lockdown. There's huge uncertainty going forward. And here we are. We have signed a deal which is worth more than the last deal. And if we win an All-Ireland, we'll actually double the value of the deal. So in strict business terms, they have played a blinder. But it's just interesting to me that there is an undercurrent of dissatisfaction as well. It just shows that, you know, I suppose you can't please all the people all the time.
No, it's a really complicated situation. That community values issue that you raised there, I mean, you know, you've seen people complain about AIB in the past, and that's a bank that has grown from our country. It is the bank of most people in Ireland, and there are people who are critical of their involvement. And I can totally understand why people are critical, but I can totally understand why if you're the bank that works and lives and all your employees are here, that you want to like invest in the community that your place is from. And I can see why Sports Direct are coming in and saying, well, these are the community values. It's also a massive opportunity for us to sell these cool jerseys. Like, you know, I guess this is the core tension that exists within the GAA, really.
Yeah, I mean, tension is the best word. You couldn't say it's a conflict, and at the same time, you can't say people are happy to, you know, switch off their consciences. But, you know, there is a growing awareness, I think, within people in the GAA who give some consideration to this. that the growing need for resources from every country, not just Cork and not just Dublin, is putting pressure on where the GAA maybe should be focusing in terms of games development and getting people to get involved in Gaelic games. I mean, it all comes back to me to what is the GAA's core purpose? To me, it's a game development or games promotion body. So in that sense, obviously intercounty games are a great way to promote their games. But also, if that becomes the tail wagging the dog, where everything has to revolve around resourcing that, something is going to suffer. And to me, the obvious place that, you know, cuts will have to be made would be, say, in your community GDA or GDO who can't get into three schools, can only go to one school because the intercounty team needs those resources.
Yeah, and that's completely the wrong way to go about life, because ultimately it's about participation and getting people to go down and play, and when they're finished playing, to become coaches and administrators and to have a lifelong relationship with the club. And what's the best way of doing that? That's, I guess, the fundamental question we're all trying to answer. Mike, great stuff. Thanks a million for joining us this morning. Cheers.
No problem. Thanks, Sans.
Michael Moynihan there from the Irish Examiner, who literally, as I said, wrote the book GAA Economics. Worth digging out if you've got any interest in how we've arrived at the situation that we find ourselves in.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.